With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Markets got a jump over the weekend when the White House released a fact sheet on the trade negotiations with China that happened last week in Beijing between President Trump and President Xi.
Arlen Suderman is chief commodities economist with StoneX. Yeah, that Trump-Xi summit ended with China saying they would purchase at least $17 billion per year in U.S. ag products in 2026, 2027, and 2028. And that's in addition to earlier soybean commitments. Of course, I say China said, actually the White House said. Reuters reports that $17 billion pledge does not include China's October soybean commitments. Those earlier commitments called for China to buy at least 25 million metric tons of U.S. soybeans in each of the next 3 years, roughly 919 million bushels per year. Now, the agreement also includes access to beef and poultry. The White House says China renewed expired listings for more than 400 U.S. beef facilities, added new listings, and then agreed to work with U.S. regulators to lift remaining suspensions. Now, grain transportation signals have been mixed in the latest week. Rail demand has strengthened while barge movement has slowed. U.S. Class 1 railroads originating 30,610 grain carloads for the week that ended May 2nd. That's up 3% from the previous week. Rail volume also 17% above last year, 21% above the three-year average. Shuttle secondary rail car bids averaging $596 per car above tariff, up $142 from the previous week, and $705 higher than the same week last year. River movement, though, weakening, barged grain movements totaling over 635,000 tons for the week that ended May 9th. That's down 10% from the previous week, 14% below last year. Downbound barge traffic also falling, 418 barges moving downriver. Now, ocean demand remains firm. Gulf elevators loaded 29 grain vessels for the week. And that was up 32% from last year. 48 more expected within 10 days. Farm operating debt, though, remains mostly stable across the South, but late loan categories showing pressure after a difficult year for row crop margins. Charlie Martinez is with the University of Tennessee Institute of Ag, says non-real estate farm loans 4% higher in the fourth quarter than a year earlier. The biggest concern, though, loan quality. Martinez says non-accrual loans stayed elevated from the previous quarter, were 172% higher than in the fourth quarter of 2024. Now, loans that are 90 days or more past due, nearly unchanged from a year earlier. But those 30 to 89 days late, they fell from the first quarter peak. But Martinez says some of that debt likely moved into the non-accrual category by year end, as that category still remains 35% higher than the fourth quarter of 2024. It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
This is Agriculture Today.
Some of the greatest opportunity our pork industry has had over the last 20 years has been a growth in exports.
Brian Humphreys is CEO of the National Pork Producers Council, NPPC.
We are able to raise an incredibly high quality and affordable product right here in the United States. And while that has done gone a long ways to supply the American consumer with an affordable and high quality product, the rest of the world enjoys pork, right? It's one of the most, it is the most consumed protein worldwide and has been for a number of years. And so there's quite a demand internationally for U.S. pork. And so our partners at USMEF do an amazing job of promoting the product. But we have to do a lot of work at NPPC to open those doors and get access to those markets. And, you know, if you look over the last 20 years, it's been a great growth opportunity for us. I think there's still really bright opportunities ahead of us when we talk about trade internationally. Obviously, this administration, the Trump administration, has done a lot of work on bilateral agreements and expanding access for agricultural products. And pork has been a part of those conversations, whether we're talking Malaysia or Cambodia. Obviously, we could talk about the USMCA review with our largest export partner in Mexico. But there's still room for opportunity, right? And we think of countries out there that have a lot of opportunity for U.S. pork products. It'd be hard not to talk about Vietnam. Obviously, a country there that eats a lot of pork, but they have some interesting rules around what can and can't be shipped in. An example, Vietnam is the only country that I'm aware of personally that separates out red offal and white offal, and we're still not allowed and not able to export any white offal into the country of Vietnam. Now, we're able to export red offal, but not white. And that's a tremendous opportunity for our industry to export products that American consumers don't consume, but folks in Vietnam certainly do. Another opportunity out there is, I would say, is the Philippines. Obviously, they are struggling with some disease challenges around African swine fever, and as their industry works to hopefully recover from that, been an opportunity for U.S. producers there. And we've benefited as they've lowered their most favorite nation rate from 15% in quota, 25% I think out of quota, but been a tremendous opportunity for us to be able to help them as their industry is trying to recover from African swine fever. So a couple of countries there with opportunity, but obviously a thanks to the administration, the Trump administration, for all of their work in opening other markets for us as well.
But he also admits there are challenges ahead for the industry.
When I think about challenges, I think the most significant challenge facing our industry today remains things like Proposition 12. And if we are not able to get Congress to pass a fix as part of the Farm Bill, the patchwork that is going to ensue as every state starts to legislate what products are or are not allowed into their economy, into their commerce, is a massive challenge, not just for the U.S. pork industry, but I would argue for the entire economy and for all of agriculture. And so that is one that is absolutely keeping me up at night, and I know keeping a lot of our producers up at night. And so looking forward to Congress fixing that one and providing some certainty to the U.S. pork industry so that we can continue to improve our infrastructure and feed the American people.
Brian Humphreys, CEO, National Pork Producers Council. It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
The planting season is right around the corner. You can't afford to be down when it's time to go. Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, can get your equipment ready for the season and keep you running. We also have a great selection of new and used planters for the upcoming season. Depend on Wiley's 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Find us at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Our Shanghai office overnight pulled together the figures from the U.S. Census Bureau and provided us with this table looking at the last 5 years.
Arlen Suderman is chief commodities economist at StoneX. He's breaking down the latest announcement on U.S.-China trade negotiations.
And it would, in essence, be very similar to years 21 through 2023 in the amount of non-ag commodities, although 23 dropped off to just under $14 billion in non-soybean purchases of U.S. commodities. But it includes all kinds of things, including meat and protein and ethanol, et cetera, even tobacco products and horticultural products. So you're thinking, okay, that's not a big deal. But I should say that 21 and 22 were historical high points, though, too. So if you go back off the last 15 years or so, 21 and 22 were the highest of those years. And so it does suggest that this is a significant change from where we've been at. Now, we've been selling quite a bit of pork to them, quite a bit of grain sorghum to them. But this would suggest that the door is open anyway to notable purchases of U.S. corn and wheat. We still appear to be moving forward with them purchasing beef from the United States. In fact, now their website, which initially during the negotiations last week showed that suddenly all the like 400 some U.S. facilities whose export licenses to China had expired in, I think it was February 2025, had suddenly been renewed. A few hours later, no, they were changed to expired again. Now they're back to renewed once again. At a time when we have a shortage of beef in this country, but President Trump's also talking about removing, has not done so yet, but talking about removing the import tariff on countries that export beef to us. And most notably, that would be the 26+% tariff coming on beef coming from Brazil. So Brazil is essentially hitting their quota of beef going to China now, is going to face stiff tariffs. But we could see Brazil beef coming to United States and then U.S. exporting to China. Will it be the same beef? Will it be, you know, speculate what you want. That's not my point here. We're going to be transshipping Brazilian beef to China. But that all counts toward the $17 billion per year total. And so I think it is significant. How significant depends on how this breakdown happens. If it's spread across a lot of different products, it does help elevate the floor again under these markets, which we've seen quite a bit of that happen here over the last couple of months with the Iran war, et cetera. If it's all concentrated in one or two products, then it gives a pretty good bull story to those products. We have yet to see. What I'm going to be watching for is do we see sales to China and or unknown destinations on price breaks? And how soon does that start? What kind of quantities do we see? But it does help lift the floor again underneath of these markets and continues to change the dynamic, particularly as we look ahead to 2027, when we expect global fertilizer shortages to be more acute for the 2027 global crops.
Arlen Suderman, chief commodities economist at StoneX. And this is Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
China has not confirmed any of this, but that's not unusual. They rarely do confirm any type of agreements that come out.
Arlen Suderman is chief commodities economist at StoneX on the latest U.S.-China ag agreement.
I should state that the October agreement had, for the White House had said, included 12 million metric tons of purchases of U.S. soybeans in the current year and 25 million metric tons in each of the next 3 years. There was a lot of vagueness about whether that meant calendar year or marketing year. This new agreement, we'll see if the, how they live up to it. But according to the White House, it includes $17 billion worth of ag commodities per calendar year, it looks like, above and beyond the agreed upon soybean purchases from that October agreement. So that would seem to suggest that we will still see the 25 million metric tons purchased each year of the next 3 years of U.S. soybeans if they would hold to that agreement. And on top of that, another $17 billion worth of other ag commodities. So we'll have to see how that plays out going forward. But will China buy the 25 million metric tons? I've been skeptical per year going forward the next 3 years. I've been skeptical along that would happen. However, this helps reinforce that a bit more. And the fact that President Trump says that he and President Xi may meet three more times yet this year in various locations, the more times they meet, the greater the odds that he's going to hold China's feet to the fire on following through with this. And that got supported by some pretty weak retail sales data that came out of China this morning, in addition to some weak economic data that came out last week. So it would appear that China has incentive here to try to maintain some cooperation from the United States so that we can help give a boost to their economy as well. So this is something that was priced into the markets overnight, or at least partially so, with a sharp increase in grain and oilseed prices. Anticipating this, it doesn't mean that we go straight up from here by any means, but I think it is, again, this kind of, even though we have a lot of unknowns here, it makes traders reluctant to build short positions in these commodities right now. As we go forward, we anticipate a crop progress report this afternoon is going to show the crops are still going into ground in fast order. Once emergence hits 50%, then we'll start getting crop condition ratings, and that'll become a significant focus of these markets through the summer. That combined with what evidence we have of China actually buying and following through on this agreement. But after a big sell-off last week on disappointment that ag wasn't specifically mentioned in any big trade deals while President Trump was in Beijing, the White House gave new life to the markets over the weekend, and we're starting this week off on a big positive note in the grain and oil seeds. Keep in mind that we still have the strong biofuel program that's going to be underpinning our oil seeds as well this year. Makes weather that much more important as we go through the U.S. growing season in the months ahead. Although to this point, there is no significant weather story. One may develop as we go forward, but one is not present currently.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This is Agriculture Today.
We're all in acknowledgement that beef prices are higher, but if you look at the rate of acceleration that beef has made in relationship to all other goods and services, you're correct. It's not really out of line.
Don Close is Senior Protein Analyst with Terrain.
Does that give the consumer challenges? Does it cause them to potentially look at a different mix of cuts than what they ideally would prefer? Yeah. But any softer? No. One other thing that I think is critically important when we have this part of the conversation is if you factor in the emphasis that consumers are placing on health, if you take the outcomes of all the MAHA movement and let's eat real food, better food, real food, and then specifically, if you take the influence that we're seeing because of the widespread use of the GLP-1 weight loss drugs, I think all of those are serving as drivers behind this protein craze.
This has been one of the most impressive bull markets in history, but does it still have legs?
It has been, if you take longevity of this market, I think we're 6 years into it now, but the price levels that we accomplished in 25, the additional price increases we're seeing year to date, we're still within the price projections that we've had out there for the year. So it's not as if this was a total surprise to us, but clearly if the volatility in the broader market and the volatility associated with this long string of record high prices, it tests one's mettle on a week-to-week basis. But the bottom line, Tony, is we still think there's some additional room to the upside. With that said, you know, would we advise producers to have risk management in place at these levels? Unquestionably, have risk protection in place. But you just look at the overall availability of cattle to the marketplace, the spring grilling, demand for spring grilling, as we've talked about, we're still willing to hang on and think there's more room to the top side.
Well, the cow-calf sector is definitely in positive territory. Packers are struggling. What about feeders?
You know, they've done pretty well. And when I try to have conversations with them and ask about the high price of replacement cattle, availability of replacement cattle, the escalation in feed grain prices and just operating expenses in general, and they just continue to buy replacement cattle. And I ask, what are you thinking about? And they look, we've had a phenomenal, phenomenal run in the market. We still have a responsibility to customers and to our employees to keep this yard operational. And we're going to do it. Now, your question was, where do they stand with margin wise? You know, and while they have challenges, and the real gravy of this upswing was their huge profit years were 24, the first half of 25. By the second half of 25, they were pretty close to a break even most of the time, but no real big returns. First quarter, they've gone through a period of moderate losses. The big up in the market we saw last week, I think, has them pretty much at a break-even level or very close.
It's Agriculture Today.
The planting season is right around the corner. You can't afford to be down when it's time to go. Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, can get your equipment ready for the season and keep you running. We also have a great selection of new and used planters for the upcoming season. Depend on Wiley's 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Find us at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
So there certainly is an effect.
As farmers' budgets have to tighten, does it affect the demand for equipment? Bing Cleavy is senior research analyst with StoneX.
The challenge of semiconductors in the machinery space has actually been a long one, so dating well before the outbreak of war. There's a lot more technology that's embedded within tractors than a lot of people probably realize. I mean, the in support of the automation and the guidance vision systems, there are, you know, hundreds if not thousands of semiconductors embedded within large new machines. General semiconductor availability has been an issue for some time for these OEMs. And that certainly hasn't changed. Other parts availability, the dynamics around, as you noted, the geopolitical tensions causing trade disruptions, energy shocks, that's all been an issue. So far it hasn't resulted in a dramatic impact on the space though. If you think back a few years ago coming out of the pandemic, mm-hmm. when the supply chain disruptions were really pronounced, that was an extraordinary situation. And there's certainly a lot of people monitoring the situation, but we're not back to where we were a few years ago by a long shot just yet. So heightened risk, but we're not there yet.
And with these tightening budgets, do delayed purchases for equipment affect productivity?
You know, of all the different buckets of major inputs that a farmer purchases, machinery is one of the more elastic ones. I mean, if you're a farmer, you have to buy seed. If you have a plot of land, you don't put seed in it, you're not a farmer.
Course, so yeah.
they're spending money on seed, mm-hmm. And the best genetics for that seed at that. And then subsequently, farmers have very inelastic demand for the herbicides, pesticides, fungicides that protect that crop. And then to a little bit lesser degree, but still a high degree of purchasing, continuing on the fertilizer side, even though those prices are obviously up as well. Machinery is a different subject. It's a lot easier for a farmer to wait a year to buy a new piece of machinery or maybe trade down from new machinery to used, in looking for a cheaper option. So, the farmer spending on machinery in general is much more elastic than other inputs. And that is the most directly responsive kind of aspect of the machinery space to the current economic conditions for the farmer. For several years, you know, well before the U.S. attack on Iran, the farmer income statement has been in bad shape. And then today with costs like fuel, like fertilizer going up, it's really just making their difficult financial situation even more problematic. Fuel, for instance, that's diesel costs are, you call it 3-4%. A variable cost for your median row crop farmer in the U.S. You are already losing money though going into this, and so if your 3-4% cost goes up to 6-7%, it makes your loss that much more pronounced. Similar dynamic also for fertilizer. So for these farmers that are unfortunately now losing even more money, mm-hmm. In this environment, instead of buying new machines, They unfortunately have to pay for that higher gas. They have to pay for the higher fertilizer costs. So, farmers are really continuing to delay new machinery purchases. That's the big dynamic now in the space. I mean, you look at the major OEMs, the Deeres and CNHs of the world, large ag machinery this year is expected to be down 15-20%, after multiple down years already. And that's purely on the demand side. So, their supply is coming down to meet demand. That demand is really quite stale right now.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today, purplewave.com.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.